I just couldn't sit back there and not get up here with all the just so much confirmation in my conversation with the Lord this morning. I mean, it's my heart's about to blow out of my chest when I think about the conversation this morning with the Lord and everything that's happened. Especially with the brother that got up here in the beginning. Because this morning, the Lord's conversation with me was all about others. All about others. And the Lord just, one thing after another in different ways, how he calls me to do a little thing that made a difference in somebody's life that sometimes it was a long time before I even realized or knew. And I hope I can pull this together. It's so powerful, but the reason why I have too much and have more than I have and more than I need is because God wants me to share it with somebody else. And that was the overpowering thought that was on my mind. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't get away from it. God is about other people. He's about people. God, help me pull this together. Jesus Christ is everything. I thought about Brother Henry up there. This morning is all on my mind. Brother Henry, who got saved under some really terrible circumstances that were just a wonderful thing sent by God in itself. The burning down of your house. Look at what flowed out of you up here, these people, and your house burnt down. What a testimony. What a flow of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that came out from the people. Hit me back there. And it came. They hear because their house burned down and somebody helped them build their house back. You know, I prayed one time when I was going through all this, I don't know what you call it, religious training when I first got up there, and you got all these teachers and you got all these people telling you the right thing to do. And you ought to do this and you ought to do that. And I would always go to the Lord and I'd say, Lord, is that the right thing? I always took all these things to Jesus and said, Lord, you what's, you know. And the one thing was about giving. You need to tell people about tithes. You need to tell people about this. And I was like, I don't want to talk to people about money. I don't want to talk to people about stuff. I mean, how do you do that, Lord? How do I talk to people about giving without bringing that? How do you do that? And I will tell you what the Lord told me. I told Brother Billy this. He said, 1 second after you die, are you listening? 1 second after you die, the only things that's going to be on your mind, Rick, are the things you did to me or me. Everything else is going to be irrelevant. Irrelevant. That's saying a lot about giving without saying nothing about money, isn't it? Or what time, energy, or whatever you're going to do. But I was thinking about Brother Henry. And the church I got a call, and 30 minutes late, it was 30 minutes after he got died. He literally died up there, and they brought him back. And they took him from there to the hospital. And I called the church, said, they got to call right now. Call your church right now. Call them right now. And it was 4:30. At 5 o'clock, I had to be up there at the ministry. And I got up there, and I was sitting on the porch. And I was going, Lord, what you want me to do? I have to be here. This is my response to all these men. But I got a man down there in the hospital, died, come back. I said, what do I do? And I was sitting there, and the Lord said this. I said, you know the scripture where it says, when I was sick, you visited me not. And I jumped off on that porch and I took off for that hospital. Because I knew that was Jesus Christ. And when I walked in that room, there was a man laying there and he'd coughed up so much blood it dried up right here. And he'd already died again. And they brought him back. That was the second time. And he looked at me. And he said, Rick, I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death. And I got there with him and I said, you know Jesus died for your sins. He's got it all covered. Do you believe that? He rose. He said, Rick, I believe it. I said, Brother Henry, I don't care what happens. I don't care what happened. Hold on to that with all your might. Hold on to Jesus. No matter what happened. Later on that evening, that boy walked out of the hospital. I'm telling you right now. He walked out of there. He walked out of there a new man too. And if I've ever seen a man gifted in praying, it's Brother Henry. And I thank the Lord that in his situation, God has blessed me that Henry could stay there and help me. You know that? And I hope I ain't telling nothing I should say with Brother here, but I just recently learned about Brother Henry that he is actually committed for life. I didn't know that. But he was going to be put somewhere for the rest of his life, and it was out of his control. Out of his control. I did not know that. But that was where he was at. But that brother has been a blessing to me up there. And some evenings he'll come to me and he'll say, Ricky, let's pray. Let's pray. We'll get down there and pray. And when he starts praying, it sounds like an angel's choir. It's amazing. And how the Lord is using that boy up there. I think he's going to be there for a while, too. But I was thinking about this. How can we help somebody else? How can I help somebody else? How can I get more involved in what the Lord is doing here and there? Because it looks like I'm going to be. Do I really want to sit on the sidelines and let all this that's going on and just sit there? Do it. Is that what I want? Do I want to meet Jesus in heaven and say, Lord, I never told anybody about you. My God. Or do I want to participate? Do I want to get involved? Is there more that I can do to help somebody else? And the first thing that you can do to help somebody is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other is going to happen. The first thing. But you know, that the only Jesus Christ that most people are ever going to see in this life is going to be the Jesus in you. What am I doing with the Jesus in me? What am I doing with the Jesus in me? And you think about that rich man that gave all them talents to that guy, them three guys. What is he saying right there? What did you do with the Jesus I gave you? What did you do with the Jesus in here? That's a serious thing to think about when we read that whole parable, don't we? And we get down to the one guy had one talent to bear. That's a very, we know what he said to him. But that whole parable is about, what am I doing with the Jesus that's in me? What am I doing with it? That's something every one of us can look at and talk about. Every one of us. Because God is about others. And the best way that you can help you and your family, try to help somebody else's. Reap what you sow. The word of God is true. His promises is true. And one thing I learned, the more I go along, the more the Lord works in me, the more I have a freedom. It says you will know the truth and it will set you free. And I've come to realize that these things that I go through, there is something that's going to happen on the other side of them. It's going to make it all worthwhile. The peace, just like the sister got up here, that thing that comes in us, that money can't buy, that inside work that comes in me. Contentment. Who would want contentment? I tell you what, with contentment, you can do a whole lot. Contentment. And these are the things the Lord wants to give us. Things that you can't buy with money. Giving and helping other people. It's something you can't get with money. The return on that. Watching these people get up here and share. What a testimony. God, I tell you what, when they get to heaven, one of the blessings they thank God for is their house burnt down. I'm telling you right now. And what flowed out of them was Jesus Christ up here. It hit me back there and I was... That's the stuff we get from God money can't buy. That's that oil coming out of somebody that's been pressed by God. Pressed. And God flowed out of them. I'm going to tell you what, take the money, take the world. I want that. I want that spirit of God that just, whew. Who wouldn't want some more confidence in Jesus Christ? I mean, everything just flowed right out of that. I was thinking about the conversation with the Lord this morning and all that, all about giving and seeing that. I was like, I couldn't sit back there and be quiet. And I was like, Lord, is this just for me or for everybody? But the only way to find out is get up there and give it. Then we'll find out. Praise God. If I'm out of line, praise God, I'll go back there and shut up. You know? But God is about other people. And he's given us a Jesus Christ that he wants us to share. There's you know, the scripture in the Bible, it said we are for the good and purpose, his dear pleasure. You got a guy up here that don't know the Bible. So, but when you look at that scripture in the what I call the Holy Bible for Dummies, the paraphrase, it's interpreted into, it is God's spirit that is in us that is causing us to be obedient and to do what he wants us to do. God's spirit. Jesus Christ. My question is not to you, but to me. What am I doing with the Jesus Christ that I have in my heart? Am I going to bury him in a field? Or am I going to step out by faith and do what he tells me to do with what he's given me? That's the question for me. For me. Praise God.
It's so good to be here. And Micah, you're not the only one falling apart. Believe me, sister. Right now I'm practically having to hold my shoulder in my socket. Thank God for torn rotator cuffs, I think. I'm going around that mountain again. Something Ricky said about, I know what he said, I can't, well, you know, what are we going to do with the Jesus that we have? Oh, he said, there's people in the world that the only Jesus they're ever going to see is in you. And this is true. Right before I was saved, I was in a bad, bad way, as most of us are. And at least I was. And I remember having to go to this place in Lake City to get some assistance for something. And I was just broken. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I don't understand, you know, this and that and the other. And I told the lady, I said, and I was getting all emotional. I might get emotional now. But she said, or I don't remember exactly what I told her, something about, if I break down and start crying, don't mind me. I have anxiety disorder. And, like, there's a bunch of people in there, and I was just kind of about to freak out. And the best thing that woman could have ever said to me was, would you like me to pray for you? And I was like, what? I mean, honestly, that was the first thing that came to my mind was, what? But then I'm like, well, it can't hurt. I mean, that was the second thought that came to my mind was, it can't hurt. And so she sat there and she prayed and I busted out crying. And I mean, that was the Jesus I needed to see. I mean, I knew Mom and Jim have Jesus in them, but sometimes people need to see the Jesus in somebody who's not so close to you, who's not family, who's not sitting next to you in the pew, whatever. Sometimes people need to see Jesus in a stranger. And had I not seen that day, I mean, I'd have made my way to God eventually because that was his calling for me. But that day, I needed her, and I had never seen her before, and I never saw her again. Sadly, before I was able to go back to this place and tell her what she did for me, she had already retired. But I did go back, and I told the lady there and another lady, and she said that she would get the message to this particular woman. Her name was Shirley. But that day, I mean, God orchestrated things that I happened to be there that day to talk to her. And had she not stepped out in faith and, you know, asked if she could pray for this poor girl who's about to break down, I mean, it was so, I don't even know, I can't even explain the emotion I had, but it's what I needed. And not long after that, I was in Mom and Jim's house saying, you know, I need God. I need Jesus. And then, you know, I surrendered my life to him. And so, like Ricky said, you know, and I'll say, and it is so, so true. That is my testimony. She was not the only person I saw Jesus in, but she was the person that day that I needed. So, you know, when you go out, think about that. I'm kind of introverted. I'm not good at putting myself out there to people unless I know you, and then I won't shut up. But but initial contact for me is extremely painful. It's just not good, and it's something I've prayed about a lot. So that's something y'all can pray with me about, because I want to give somebody what Shirley gave me that day. Yes, Jesus. And that's not easy when you don't talk to people. And sometimes it can be in a smile. You know, sometimes it can, you know, just be an acknowledgement of that person. And they'll see it. But not if you don't look up at them, which is, I'm usually like this. But I just wanted to share that and to say that, yes, sometimes the people around us are exactly what we need, but sometimes somebody, you know, it's got to be somebody we don't even know. And for some people, that's going to be us out there somewhere. So anyway, I hope I didn't screw it up, but I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. So I love you guys.
I just wanted to appreciate the question that Ricky asked that, you know, you mentioned too. What are you going to do with the Jesus that's in you? I don't know if I have the authority to deem a title for this service, but I think that's pretty great. Y'all choose whatever. Anyways, this is something very small, but I felt convicted. I saw this, you know, new family come in today. I had never seen you guys before. And this young man right here, you know, I saw you. I walked by you. I was like, if I make eye contact with him, I'll say, hey. But I never made eye contact, and I just kind of, for some reason, it wasn't my nature to go up to him and say, hey, and I think that's a problem. That's something that should change in me. If it's not my nature to go up to somebody and just, I don't think Jesus walked past anybody. You know, I don't think he ever walked by somebody and didn't make some sort of notion to them or put on a smile, give them some sort of joy. He gave joy to everybody he walked by. And so that just stuck out to me and convicted me that I need to work on what I'm allowing Jesus to do in me, what I'm going to let this Jesus do. I also wanted to encourage all of you. I think this generation of young men right here, you know, when I was their age, I kind of said, the Jesus in me, I'm going to stow it away. Put it in the reserve, save it for later. These guys have been, they're a very special group. They're eager to put out the Jesus that they want or that lives in them. And I haven't seen that at their age ever in anybody. And it's not just one of you, it's each and every one of you. And I've been very blessed with these guys. I wanted to say a verbal thank you to everybody who's, you guys have raised me, and each of you have had a part in it. You've had a part in raising these guys too, not just the parents. Parents, you've done a great job, but everybody here is family, and I'm gonna miss all of you. But it's, I mean, short time. There's, like Ricky said on Wednesday night, there's no room for sadness anywhere. So I'm staying happy about it. I know God's got great things ahead, but thank you guys for being so involved and for being who you are. But yeah, thank you for that question. So thank all of you. That's the main reason I wanted to get up here, was just to thank all of you. You've been very helpful, flexible. A lot of things were spur of the moment, last minute, on the fly. But you've been flexible and very committed, and I appreciate it. Thank you all. Love you.
Nice to meet you, by the way. I just want to say I thank the Lord for this service today. From the very beginning, I believe the Lord ruled and overruled and has shared his heart with us in so many ways. You know, this is one thing that's so amazing about the body of Christ is we are in so many ways so different. And yet in one way we're identical. We are completely broken and need a Savior. We need Jesus. And he's the only one who can save us. And he's the only one who can, having saved us, continue that work, change us, bring us to the place where has been shared this morning, that we realize that our precious Lord and Savior, who lives in us, desires to flow out of us, desires to reach out and touch others. Now, I think I've shared this before, but I can't think of it again. As Ricky was speaking, it's been a while back. I was just walking and praying one morning, and I was just, the Lord brought to my heart and mind who He, our Creator, the one who made us. In His love, He came down and partook of humanity. He completely identified Himself with us. He fully and completely gave Himself for us. He laid down His life according to the Father's heart and His heart to bring us back into union with the one who made us. He gave Himself fully and completely. And His love was just overwhelming. I said, and I made the comment, I said, wow, Lord, Father, You are all about us. You are all about us. You love us beyond our comprehension. That's so amazing. You are all about us. And I said, Lord, help me to be all about You. all about you, completely given, yielded, surrendered. I want to be all about you. And there was just a real peaceful reply, if you will, to my heart, the thought just, I'm doing that. I'm working that. I'm working that in you. And then, right on the heels of it, and as I do that, as I make you all about me, you're going to find yourself all about others. Because that's why I came, for you and for all who will respond. All who will respond to my love. And I long to join my brothers and my sisters here this morning and earnestly seek God. Father, use us. This is not something we can do. We can't, in the energy of our goodwill, help anybody. It's got to be by His Spirit. It's got to be the Lord. And He will lead us. If this is the cry of our heart, to be all about others, He will lead us. And sometimes we might not even be aware of it. You know, I think a lot of times maybe that's for the best, because this flesh can sure get proud in a heartbeat and think it's done something when it's not done anything. The only thing we can do is yield and surrender to the one who does everything. Amen. Jesus Christ is the answer. And He's the one who everybody needs. I was thinking about that little song we listened to the other night together. People need the Lord. This world is so broken. There is so much need out here. People need the Lord. And then one of those last lines, it says, when will we realize that we need to lay down our lives? Because people need the Lord. By His grace, I want to do that, don't you? And it's by His grace, it's by the working of His Spirit that we lay down self, we deny self, take up our cross and follow Him. He will use us. He will. Folks, we are blessed beyond our comprehension. His love is the most powerful force in the universe. He has brought us unto Himself. We have everything and every reason to rejoice and to give Him praise and to give Him thanks. Even when circumstances are hard and feelings aren't there or they're negative, we have every reason to worship and praise and thank our God, because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And He's working. He's working in our midst. I rejoice in what God is doing in our midst, folks, because in spite of all our differences, and we're different in so many ways, there's no doubt, I don't have any doubt whatsoever, I cross people in so many ways. But guess what? Some of you cross me from time to time too. Except for the grace of God, we would never get along. But by His grace, by His love, hey, we are one. We are one. And in spite of all those differences, what makes us the same is our need of Him and Him inside. It's Christ in us, our hope of glory. It's Christ in us. Has made us one. And we have every reason to rejoice and to press on together and to seek God together. Young folks, I appreciate what Addison has shared. Let's remember him as he goes forward into the military services. Let's hold him up. Let's hold up these young people, because people need the Lord. And we are in a position, by God's grace, the word that comes forth here, the living word that flows from this place, is going out into the highways and hedges and compelling people to come in. They're responding. And God's children, they need the living word. They need that living water to sustain their soul where they're at. And let's pray much for this ministry that God has given us to reach out, because He's all about others. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. This has been wonderful this morning. I don't know that I'm going to elaborate a lot, but I just feel led to, I already had this chapter come to me, and then after, as Carl was speaking, it's John 17. when Jesus was praying. I'm just going to read it. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men that you gave me out of the world. He's talking about the disciples. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. I asked on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. When I heard Carl say, you know, about unity, kind of confirmed it for me. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. And this is where it really... But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone. This is I like this. I love this. It's almost, my flesh says it's too good to be true, honestly. But I know it's not. It's true. It's the truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's us. That's what we're talking about here today. Christ in us going out. It's a promise that the word is going to keep on going until he said it's time to stop. It's his business. But that just, I don't know, that's that prayer right there 2,000 years ago was for us. That's awesome to me. So let me finish here. And I really, you know, surely Jesus, the most unselfish being ever created. Just... Let me just read it here. So that the world may believe. Oh, I'm sorry. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You'll find that through this whole prayer. That the world might believe that you sent me, that this is the truth, the only truth. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Amen. That's an unbelievable prayer, promise, hope to me, and I just thought it went along with what we've heard today.